Good morning and welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking local education with Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools Kathy Parker on this weekend show. Superintendent Parker, I've been working in radio here for about 15 years, and it seems like every year we do a news story on whether or not the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act is going to be renewed in Washington, D.C., which, of course, local school districts rely on. You know, what is kind of the status with Secure Rural Schools these days?
Well, the full name of the act is the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Determination Act, even though a lot of the work happens at the federal level in Washington. We do a lot of work locally and in our rural county partnerships in order to remind our local legislatures that this money was promised to our rural counties that are abutted by federal lands in order to offset the loss of property taxes. That was the whole reason why this act was passed in the first place. And we always have to remind them that that was a promise that was made. Our reduction in funding that has happened over multiple years is dramatic enough, but about $1 million would come annually to Tuolumne County. Half of that goes to roads and half of that goes to schools in our particular county funding arrangement. It seems that with the politics that are happening in Washington, the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Determination Act has kind of fallen off of people's radar. So we've determined that we have had to actually make more of an effort to literally, physically put ourselves in their view to remind them of this promise made. And so there's nothing in the next budget cycle that we can see that will fund the SERS program. That's the abbreviation for it. And so as a member of the advisory committee of the Rural Educators Network and an active member of the National Forest Communities and Schools Coalition, I've made a commitment that for this next year, one of my main focus will be working on getting that act passed. Or one of the conversations that have been happening is, could we possibly lock up those funds in some kind of trust at the federal level so that we have a reliable source of funding for us in years to come? We all rely upon that. It doesn't seem like a lot of money in the big scheme of things, but for us, $1 million in our county, that's a lot of money.
On the issue of special education, which, as you mentioned, your office oversees, have there been any recent challenges for funding in that realm?
Yes. Special education funding has continuously been underfunded. The federal level has not ever come close to their promises of funding special education at the funding levels that they have promised. In addition, the number of students that are needing special education services and the intensity of services that we need to provide are increasing. All of that funding now comes out of our general fund. It doesn't come out of special education funding set aside specifically for that purpose. So again, the unique challenges of rural areas where we oftentimes work together collaboratively in order to provide specialized services, they need to be, at the state level, they need to be cognizant of that challenge, especially in rural areas, and look at different ways of funding special education for rural communities. We've got a lot of advocacy going on around that at the state level, which is really what it takes to make changes in the way funding is structured so that we can receive that funding for those services for our most vulnerable students.
You mentioned there's been an increased number of students who need special education services. Is that, are parents being more proactive, or are there new diagnoses, or what's kind of the, is there any general reason?
One of the areas we see increases in is the area of autism. And I don't think it's necessarily more students are being identified with autism or are developing autism. I think it's an education piece that happened with education of parents to recognize the symptoms, the manifestations of autism. And those parents are able now to seek support and services for their children so that they can be successful and receive the accommodations that their children need to be successful in school. So I don't think it's necessarily an increase in that. It's more of an awareness that that might be a possibility. And so that's one area that we've seen a large increase is in autism.
I've heard educators say recently that they've been noticing more and more cases of trauma for students, you know, locally, and I know across the state, a country, it's a big issue. Is that something that your office is looking at as well and working on?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, I wrote a grant called the Learning Communities Grant, and that provided us just under $900,000 in order to provide services around mental health support, around trauma-informed practices, and also work around drug addiction and drug abuse in our student population. One of the things we were able to do is we were able to provide the drugstore project that happened this past fall. Over 130 community partners from various law enforcement agencies and community organizations came out for a day to work with eighth graders to take them through a series of vignettes to teach them about one of the possible outcomes of drug abuse. But the reasons that we're seeing drug abuse in our young is because they're self-medicating, because they do have mental health issues and aren't able to be addressed. So one of the commitments for this next year is I've been working with the Department of Behavioral Health and working with them in order to submit an innovation grant that would put mental health clinicians in each of the school sites, at least for a part of the week, in order for all students, not just those that are Medi-Cal eligible, but for all students to be able to access mental health clinicians.
Also, I want to ask you about, there's been a talk about a proposal for a charter school in Pinecrest. I know that an appeal is coming up soon to your office. That's going to be next week. Is that correct?
That is correct. So Pinecrest Expedition Academy submitted a petition for a charter school last year, and they went through the appeal. It was denied at Twain Hart School District, and it came to the county office, and it was denied there, and it was never agendized at the State Board of Education. This year, they submitted their application in the fall to Twain Hart School District in November. They denied the petition, and so it came to the county schools office last Wednesday on appeal. So we have scheduled the hearing where the public can come and express their interest in the Pinecrest Expedition Academy charter. That will be on December 9th at 4 o'clock at Fairview Lane, 175 Fairview Lane, the county schools office. And after that hearing, we will enter into an evaluation period, and that will be a decision by the county board on whether to grant that petition or to deny it.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Anything else we haven't noted that is keeping you busy these days?
Just everything that goes on with the county superintendent of schools office. Somebody was writing a message from the state level, and they wanted to know who our public information officers were and could we identify that for the county. And my response was, well, one of the pleasures of being in a small county is that you get to wear a lot of hats. So I am also the public information officer, and having to be away from the classroom was something that I did not like to do when I entered into administration. But as a county superintendent in a small county, I'm able to get out into the classrooms and see students doing a lot of work in order to take advantage of a wonderful system called public education. And it also reminds me of the reason why I do the work every day. And it's just been a pleasure for the last year. I'm looking forward to the next 3 years. And I've got a lot of ideas and a lot of work ahead of me, but I'm looking forward to it.
So you're optimistic about the future?
I am very optimistic.
Well, Superintendent Parker, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for coming in on joining us on Motherlode Views.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Again, we thank Superintendent Kathy Parker for Tuolumne County for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.